The Tampa Bay Times reported Tampa Mayor Jane Castor has decided to forego a national search for a police chief and tap interim chief Lee Burkhoff for the job. Castor told the Times yesterday, quote, Burkhoff's performance as interim chief and feedback from community leaders and residents and department personnel has made it crystal clear that the 27-year-old veteran of the department is the right person for the job, unquote. Castor's change of plans is reminiscent of her predecessor Bob Buckhorn's decision in 2017 to call off a search that the Police Executive Research Forum to appoint then-interim chief Brian Dugan to the job. Burkhoff, who lives in Pasco County, will have to address a residency issue. The city charter requires department heads, such as the police chief, to live in the city. Several cities across the area marked the beginning of LGBTQ Pride Month yesterday by raising the rainbow flag. WMNS Sean Canan reports from one celebration last night in the Pinellas County beachfront city of Gulfport.
About 120 people enthusiastically cheered at the end of a short ceremony when the rainbow flag was raised above the Gulfport Public Library. It came after several speakers denounced new Florida laws that target the LGBTQ community. Those laws even prompted an advocacy group to advise LGBTQ people that travel to Florida may not be safe. Democrat Lindsey Cross represents parts of Pinellas County in the Florida legislature.
It's bullying at a very high level, and I don't think it's reflective of who the majority of Floridians are or their values. I think these bills are passed to get attention in the media, to appeal to a very narrow, conservative, and you know, and some would say hateful base. And I think that Florida is better than that. I think that if we're able to elect different people at our local, our state, and our federal level, we'll be able to reverse some of these policies. But in the meantime, there's a lot of people who are going to be hurt by them.
One new Florida law threatens the license of establishments that have drag shows with children present. So Gulfport Pride's drag performance after last night's flag raising was only for ages 18 and up. Drag entertainer Brianna Summers is frustrated with the new laws coming out of Tallahassee.
You know, with the laws, they're so vague that we don't know what the right thing to do is anymore. We've always been able to have our fun and create our own spaces. And with the new bills, we're having to kind of do it differently than before, or the new laws, rather, I guess. So, you know, it's a challenge right now.
The Gulfport Pride Festival is tomorrow along the waterfront, Shore Boulevard and Beach Boulevard. It goes from 10 in the morning until 8 in the evening with a parade at 3. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canan in Gulfport.
A St. Petersburg fourth grader's artwork was selected to represent Florida in the Doodle for Google art contest. WMNF's Chris Young reports that the art was inspired by her passions and her struggles.
Google's contest prompt asked kids and teens to create a doodle based around the Google logo, about what they're grateful for. 9-year-old Iman Hadouche Miranda stepped up to the challenge. She drew herself participating in her favorite activities while wearing her hijab. In the doodle, she's playing tennis. She's also practicing karate.
They're two of my favorite sports that I usually do over the year.
In her essay, she wrote she was bullied so much in school that her mom had to homeschool her. She finds peace in her mosque. A teacher at the mosque, she calls Sister Jennifer, inspired her to enter the contest. The national winner of the contest would have their art displayed on Google and win a $50,000 technology package for their school or nonprofit.
I wanted to participate so I can win the prize for the mosque community.
Although her drawing wasn't chosen for the national contest, she still got prizes, including technology she gave back to her mosque. For WMNF News, I'm Chris Young.
Hundreds of protesters rallied in Tampa, Bradenton, and other Florida cities yesterday in opposition to Florida's new immigration law. Many fear the law will make criminals out of Tampa residents as they strive to provide for their families while on their path to citizenship. Democratic State Representative Susan Valdez is a first-generation U.S. citizen born to Cuban immigrants, and she grew up in the Bronx before resettling in Florida. She said other states with similar laws are opting to not enforce it.
Depending on the implementation of this law, is going to be problematic for families, because so long as you have some sort of documentation that you are here, that's not one of those licenses, which is also problematic because the reciprocity is now in question, if you will, from one state's driver's license to another within the United States.
Valdez said that the result may be instances where people could be charged with a crime that they don't deserve, even if they have all their ducks in a row. Nancy Seleggio was born in Chicago, but has lived in Tampa for 45 years. Her parents are U.S. citizens, but they both immigrated without documentation prior to earning their citizenship. But now she's concerned that driving relatives in and out of the state could result in a felony charge.
It hurts me because my parents came illegally to this country, and now they're U.S. citizens. But this hurts me. It hurts. Our kids are U.S. citizens. There's no way that we can be treated like criminals. We're not criminals. We are your roofers. We are your framers. We are your drywall. We do everything.
According to the American Community Survey, immigrants pay nearly $500 billion in taxes, about 15.4% of the total tax revenues governments received from U.S. residents came from immigrant households, while they only made up about 14.8% of all U.S. households. Seleggio says immigrants are essential to the Florida economy.
Our economy depends on the immigrants, of course. Without us, who's going to build your home? Without us, who's going to do your crops? Everybody's going to pay more money for crops. Everybody's going to, if houses are not being built, nobody's going to go eat at the restaurants. It affects everybody, not only the immigration, not only the immigrant people. It affects everybody. It's a domino effect, and that's what he doesn't see.
Under the new law signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, hospitals are required to ask patients about immigration status, and businesses with 25 or more employees must use the federal E-Verify system. In addition, the state has $12 million available to transport migrants lacking legal status to other states. Tropical Depression 2 developed in the Gulf of Mexico late yesterday afternoon, the first day of the Atlantic hurricane season. This morning, the system remains in the Gulf and has winds up to 35 miles per hour. Meteorologist Megan Borowski from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network says that an uptick in thunderstorms caused by the system could lead to local flooding over parts of our area.
So thankfully, upper-level steering winds will keep the center of this system well offshore. Our area can expect bands of thunderstorms to work inland from the Gulf Coast, as they have been doing the past few days. And as we get these additional doses of heavy rain rates, local flash flooding will become more and more likely.
Megan says that a few of these thunderstorms could become strong enough to produce damaging winds or quick tornado spin-ups. She encourages us to take appropriate action if warnings are issued for our area. In the event of a flash flood warning, we should seek higher ground. If a tornado warning is issued, we should head to the innermost room or the lowest floor of a sturdy building.
Produced at the studios of WMNF Tampa by Colleen Cole.